I was about 20 years of age when these exercises came upon me, and some years I continued in that condition, in great trouble, and fain I would have put it from me. I went to many a priest to look for comfort, but found no comfort from them. From Barnet I went to London, where I took a lodging, and was under great misery and trouble there. For I looked upon the great professors in the city of London, and saw all was dark and under the chain of darkness. I had an uncle there, one Pickering, a Baptist. The Baptists were tender then, yet I could not impart my mind to him, nor join with them, for I saw all, young and old, where they were. Tender has the footnote. Tender is one of George Fox's favorite words. It will come often. It means that the persons to whom it is applied are religiously inclined, serious, and earnest in their search for spiritual reality. Some tender people would have had me stay, but I was fearful, and returned homeward into Leicestershire, having a regard upon my mind to my parents and relations. Yes, I should grieve them, for I understood they were troubled at my absence. Being returned into Leicestershire, my relations would have me be married, but I told them I was but a lad and must get wisdom. After returned, there's a footnote. From his return home in 1644, George Fox dates the beginning of his religious society. See Epistles, Volume 1, page 10, Philadelphia edition, 1831. Others would have had me join the auxiliary band among the soldiery, but I was refused and grieved that they offered such things to me, being a tender youth. And after soldiery, footnote, the Civil War was at its height. Then I went to Coventry, where I took a chamber for a while at a professor's house, till people began to be acquainted with me, for there were many tender people in that town. And after some time I went into my own country again, and continued about a year, in great sorrow and trouble, and walked many nights by myself. Then the priest of Drayton, the town of my birth, whose name was Nathaniel Stevens, came often to me, and I went often to him, and another priest sometimes came with him, and they would give place to me, to hear me, and I would ask them questions and reason with them. This priest, Stevens, asked me why Christ cried out upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And why, he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not my will, but thine be done. I told him that at that time the sins of all mankind were upon him, and their iniquities and transgressions, with which he was wounded, which he was to bear and to be an offering for, as he was man, but died not, as he was God. So in that he died for all men, tasting death for every man, he was an offering for the sins of the whole world. This I spoke, being at that time in a measure sensible of Christ's sufferings. The priest said it was a very good, full answer, and such a one as he had not heard. At that time he would applaud and speak highly of me to others, and what I said in discourse to him on weekdays, he would preach of on first days, which gave me a dislike to him. First days, footnote. It was a settled custom, in fact a matter of conscience with Fox, to avoid the names of the days and of the months. He disliked them because they commemorated heathen divinities, and he always makes a point of using numeral adjectives instead of the names. It was not an original scruple with him, but a similar position was taken by some of the leading separatists before the Commonwealth period. See Barrow's False Churches, page 204. This priest afterward became my great persecutor. After this I went to another ancient priest at Mansetter in Warwickshire, and reasoned with him about the ground of despair and temptations. And this priest was Richard Abel. But he was ignorant of my condition. He bade me take tobacco and sing psalms. Tobacco was a thing I did not love, and psalms I was not in a state to sing. I could not sing. He bade me come again, and he would tell me many things. But when I came, he was angry and pettish, for my former words had displeased him. He told my troubles, sorrows, and griefs to his servants, so that it got out among the milk glasses. It grieved me that I should have opened my mind to such a one. I saw they were all miserable comforters, and this increased my troubles upon me. I heard of a priest living about Tamworth, who was accounted an experienced man. I went 7 miles to him, but found him like an empty, hollow cask. I heard also of one called Dr. Craddock of Coventry, and went to him. I asked him the ground of temptations and despair, and how troubles came to be wrought in man. He asked me, who were Christ's father and mother? I told him Mary was his mother, and that he was supposed to be the son of Joseph, but he was the son of God. Now as we were walking together in his garden, the alley being narrow, I chanced in turning to set my foot on the side of a bed, at which the man was in a rage, as if his house had been on fire. Thus all our discourse was lost, and I went away in sorrow, worse than I was when I came. I thought them miserable comforters, and saw they were all as nothing to me, for they could not reach my condition. After this I went to another, one Macam, a priest in high account. Footnote, Macam was of Atherstone. He would needs give me some physic, and I was to have been let blood, but they could not get one drop of blood from me, either in arms or head, though they endeavored to do so. My body being, as it were, dried up with sorrows, grief, and troubles, which were so great upon me that I could have wished I had never been born, or that I had been born blind, that I might never have seen wickedness or vanity, and deaf, that I might never have heard vain and wicked words, or the Lord's name blasphemed. When the time called Christmas came, while others were feasting and sporting themselves, I looked out poor widows from house to house, and gave them some money. When I was invited to marriages, as I sometimes was, I went to none at all, but the next day or soon after, I would go and visit them, and if they were poor, I gave them some money. For I had wherewith both to keep myself from being chargeable to others and to administer something to the necessities of those who were in need. Footnote 20. It is difficult to find out where George Fox's money came from. He reports in the original manuscript of the journal, page 17, a remark his relatives made about him when he left home. When he went from us, he had a great deal of gold and silver about him. He is always well supplied. He goes to inns, always has a good horse, wears clean linen, and frequently gives to charity. In signed papers in the Spence collection, he gives orders for the disposal of money invested in chips and trade, as well as of 1,000 acres of land in Pennsylvania, which William Penn had assigned to him. About the beginning of the year 1646, as I was going to Coventry and approaching towards the gate, a consideration arose in me, how it was said that all Christians are believers, both Protestants and Papists. And the Lord opened to me that if all were believers, then they were all born of God and passed from death to life, and that none were true believers but such, and though others said they were believers, yet they were not. Footnote after the Lord opened. This expression opened has a mystical import and will be of frequent occurrence. He means to say that it was directly revealed to his soul so that he assuredly knew it to be true. Often he uses the expression in reference to some truth which he might easily have discovered in the scriptures or have learned from contemporary sources. But in this solemn way he announces that this truth has now at length come to be a living truth for him. It is no longer a mere statement of fact. It is a principle, the truth of which he sees. At another time, as I was walking in a field on a first day morning, the Lord opened unto me that being bred at Oxford or Cambridge was not enough to fit and qualify men to be ministers of Christ. And I wondered at it, because it was the common belief of people. But I saw it clearly as the Lord opened it unto me, and was satisfied, and admired the goodness of the Lord, who had opened this thing unto me that morning. This struck at Priest Stephen's ministry, namely, that to be bred at Oxford or Cambridge was not enough to make a man fit to be a minister of Christ. So that which opened in me I saw struck at the priest's ministry. But my relations were much troubled that I would not go with them to hear the priest, for I would go into the orchard or the fields with my Bible by myself. I asked them, did not the apostle say to believers that they needed no man to teach them, but as the anointing teacheth them? Though they knew this was scripture and that it was true, yet they were grieved because I could not be subject to this matter, to go to hear the priest with them. I saw that to be a true believer was another thing than they looked upon it to be. And I saw that being bred at Oxford or Cambridge did not qualify or fit a man to be a minister of Christ. What then should I follow such for? So neither them nor any of the dissenting people could I join with, but was as a stranger to all, relying wholly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. At another time it was opened in me that God, who made the world, did not dwell in temples made with hands. This at first seemed a strange word, because both priests and people used to call their temples or churches dreadful places, holy ground, and the temples of God. But the Lord showed me clearly that he did not dwell in these temples, which men had commanded and set up, but in people's hearts, for both Stephen and the Apostle Paul bore testimony that he did not dwell in temples made with hands, not even in that which he had once commanded to be built, since he put an end to it, but that his people were his temple, and he dwelt in them. This opened in me as I walked in the fields to my relation's house. When I came there, they told me that Nathaniel Stevens, the priest, had been there, and told them he was afraid of me, for going after new lights. I smiled in myself, knowing what the Lord had opened in me concerning him and his brethren. But I told not my relations, who, though they saw beyond the priest, yet went to hear them, and were grieved because I would not go also. But I brought them scriptures, and told them there was an anointing within man to teach him, and that the Lord would teach his people himself. After scriptures, footnote 22, that is, gave them scripture references. I had also great openings concerning the things written in the Revelations, and when I spoke of them, the priests and professors would say that was a sealed book, and would have kept me out of it. But I told them Christ could open the seals, and that they were the nearest thing to us, for the epistles were written to the saints that lived in former ages, but the Revelations were written of things to come. After this I met with a sort of people that held women have no souls, adding in a light manner, no more than a goose. Footnote 23. This was one of the many curious religious sects with which the England of the Commonwealth was overrun. See Edwards, Gangrena. But I reproved them and told them that was not right. For Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Removing to another place, I came among a people that relied much on dreams. I told them, except they could distinguish between dream and dream, they would confound altogether. For there were three sorts of dreams. Multitude of business sometimes caused dreams, and there were whisperings of Satan in man in the night season. And there were speakings of God to man in dreams. But these people came out of these things and at last became friends. Footnote 23. Friends is here used for the first time in the journal as the name of the new denomination. It is not possible to determine when the name was adopted or why it was chosen. When the journal was written, the term had already become fixed, and Fox uses it without comment or explanation, referring it back to a period before it came into use as the name of the society. At first, the word friends was probably used in an untechnical sense for those who were friendly, and little by little it hardened into a name. At the very beginning, they called themselves children of the light. Now, though I had great openings, yet great trouble and temptation came many times upon me, so that when it was day I wished for night, and when it was night I wished for day, and by reason of the openings I had my troubles, I could say as David said, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. When I had openings, they answered one another and answered the Scriptures, for I had great openings of the Scriptures, and when I was in troubles, one trouble also answered to another. About the beginning of the year 1647, I was moved of the Lord to go into Derbyshire, where I met with some friendly people and had many discourses with them. Then passing into the Peak country, I met with more friendly people and with some in empty high notions. After Peak country, footnote 25, it's in the northern part of Derbyshire. And after high notions, footnote 26, these were ranters who will appear again and often. They claim to be perfect and above the possibility of sinning. Some even went to the wild extreme of claiming to be Christ or God. They went on living for the most part much as they chose and justified their acts on the ground that it was God who was acting in them. It is clearly apparent from this autobiography that such persons were very numerous at the time. It will be noticed that George Fox believes also in the possibility of freedom from sin, but perfection as he holds it means something quite other than this doctrine of the ranters, as the journal will show. Traveling through some parts of Leicestershire and into Nottinghamshire, I met with a tender people and a very tender woman whose name was Elizabeth Houghton. Footnote 27. Elizabeth Houghton was a woman of good standing who was born in Nottingham about the year 1600. She was the first person of her sex to become a minister in the newly gathered society. The preaching of women at this time was not entirely novel, as it was allowed by several of the religious sects of the period. Elizabeth Houghton had her faith severely tested by persecution and long imprisonment. She performed two religious visits to America and the West Indies and died in Jamaica in 1671. With these, I had some meetings and discourses, but my troubles continued and I was often under great temptations. I fasted much, walked abroad in solitary places many days, and often took my Bible, and sat in hollow trees and lonesome places till night came on, and frequently in the night walked mournfully about by myself, for I was a man of sorrows in the time of the first workings of the Lord in me. During all this time I was never joined in profession of religion with any, but gave up myself to the Lord, having forsaken all evil company, taken leave of my father and mother and all other relations, and traveled up and down as a stranger in the earth, which way the Lord inclined my heart, taking a chamber to myself in the town where I came, and tarrying, sometimes more, sometimes less, in a place. For I durst not stay long in a place, being afraid both of professor and profane, lest, being a tender young man, I should be hurt by conversing much with either. For this reason I kept much as a stranger, seeking heavenly wisdom and getting knowledge from the Lord, and was brought off from outward things to rely on the Lord alone. Though my exercises and troubles were very great, yet were they not so continual but that I had some intermissions,